But the reason I want to reiterate this is to help you. It is to help you to understand why there's problems in your life, why there's troubles and sometimes offenses and other different things in your life and how you handle them. God is not going to keep problems from you. Not going to do it. This life is full of problems because of the sin nature. Okay? It just is. But how you handle them is very important. How you go through these things. And many of us know these type of things, but I challenge me, to do that and to see how we react. So I'm going to talk about the difference, because see, if it's chastening from the Lord that your trouble is caused from, the response to that is different than if it's purging of the Lord. Okay? And there is a difference between chastening and purging. Okay? And then we're going to talk about the sin nature, how the sin nature affects the world. And that's where several problems come from, this sin nature. And then, of course, the law of sowing and reaping and how you respond to that. There's four different, angles we're going to talk about here. Tana says she's tired. We ate very well at the very sauce. Had lasagna, had sweet stuff, had all kinds of food there. We were talking and everything, and then it turned out to be 4:30. I got home, to the Klein's where I'm staying, and everybody's sort of we're going, whew, man, we need a nap here, you know? And how many of you need a nap? Okay, yeah, you were up real early this morning, weren't you? Yeah, and the thing is I understand that, so I'm only going to go on about two or three trails, okay? I won't go on the usual four or five. I'll just try to keep it to two or three rabbit trails, okay? So I'd like to start out. Good luck with that, right? Is that what you said? You guys are lucky. See, you can hear her. I can't hear a thing. I can't. Maybe if I clicked it all the way up, right? If I clicked my hearing aids all the way up. But then, if any of you are breathing, when I got my hearing aids all the way up, I could hear you. that kind of thing. And it's a little bit discouraging. I don't know. It just kind of... Okay. In Psalms 46:1, it says this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Also, in Matthew 17:1, that first book there, Matthew, I'll get to... Okay. I got new glasses, so you're going to have to excuse me. 17:1. And that's not what I wanted, so we won't use that one. And I don't know what... I actually checked these references. I must have been into one of those states of altered states of thinking or something like that when I was checking this out, because I totally missed it. I got the 46:1 right. But he's a very present help in time of trouble. And I was thinking about this, that troubles come. How many of you have this week that you had no troubles at all? No relationship problems, no interpersonal problems with other people, no financial problems, no problems at all. Everything was just a piece of cake. Now, sometimes that might happen. You might go, a day or two. But really, to go like a week or a month without any kind of problems or somebody else's problems coming into your life, and you're going to find this out. How many of you have children? Did you know that your children are going to have children? And then their children are going to have children. And if you think that the problems diminish when you get older, you're not in this present world. You get to be involved in your grandchildren's problems. And then, now that I'm a great-grandparent, I get to be involved with little Anaya when her problems are there. And so problems are there. It's just the way that it is. But the Lord can help you through them. He really can. But I find there's different personalities, right? You got the type that everything that happens to them is their fault. Now, I won't point at anybody, but everybody knows themselves in their own hearts they might be of the type, when something goes wrong, oh man, they must have done something wrong, right? I mean, they take it on themselves that it's somehow their fault, right? That kind of thing. And that's one extreme. And then you got the other type of person that everything that happens to them is somebody else's fault. I mean, they never accept any reason for anything. It's always, you know, my wife made me do it, or the children made me do it, or something. You know, somebody's made, my sister made me do it, right? You're arguing with her. And they never accept responsibility for anything. So I'm trying to help you understand that troubles are going to come, and they come from different directions. And God understands these things. He really does. So first off, I'm going to get with chastening. I think I wanted to get that one over with, right? And not over with, but for that you understand. Okay, Hebrews 12. You know the verses, right? You get into Hebrews? I find that she does real good when you give her bananas. And what was it you were feeding her? Bananas and applesauce. Man, that kid, that was good. That child liked that, man. Kenna would like something like that. I don't like bananas.
She doesn't
like ripe. Hebrews 12 and verse 5, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you, as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." So it's a very strong, these are very strong words. I have to, you know, I don't know, in our modern day, we diminish the power of some of these words. But the chastening has a picture of somebody's getting right on you. Okay? I always think of the old Italian women. Now, see, I'm pointing at Brother Venturini, but the old Italian women, I've seen more old Italian women than Trail BC take a switch. And they would take a switch and get to their kids, man. And they'd take that switch and whack them around the ankles. Whacka, 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 whacka. And man, the kids would be skipping. I mean, you know, like, you know, jumping and dancing and everything like that. Well, that's a good picture. It's chastening. It's getting right on it. And who the Lord chasteneth, so he does chasten. But then the exhortation here, it says, of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And the rebuke of the Lord, again, is very strong wording. It's, you are wrong. You are doing this. It is very, boom, you're the man, right? When Nathan talked, right, to David, thou art the man. That's a rebuke, right? That's what the Lord, that's how strong, personal it is. And rebuked of him. Because he says that he's actually doing that for our good. And when you're going through it, whenever you, I don't know if you've ever been rebuked of the Lord or you've been chastened by the Lord, but if you ever have, when you're going through it, sometimes you don't think it's because the Lord loves you, you know, like, wow, this is serious business, right? And so he says, for to whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know what every means, right? That means every. Every one of us as Christians go through the rebuking and the chastening of the Lord at times. And there's an answer to that, okay? First off, he says, endure it. Don't try to run away from it. Don't try to, you know, accept it as from a loving father. And chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? The answer is, there's none. And it's a rhetorical question. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye not are ye bastards and not sons? In other words, since everybody is chastened of the Lord, if you're not receiving any chastening, then there's a problem here. Because it just said he chastens all of his children. A lot of times when people are chastened, they think of it as a negative thing. But he's trying to encourage us to understand that the reason that the Lord is doing this in our life is to yield something, and is to a positive, is for our good. And that takes a level of maturity and understanding and belief in God. And he says, in verse 9, furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us. I hope you had fathers. in the flesh that corrected us. I hope you did. Fathers, you need to correct your children. And it says, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, like everything just fine. They were, man, I'm good. But grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. The positive side of that is that we become partakers of its holiness if we endure. And it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised in it. That this exercise there. It is not a negative thing. And a lot of times when we're being chastened, there is a need. It's usually a very strong fault in our life. And maybe even he sent the prophet a couple times around. Maybe you heard sermons a couple of times. The Holy Spirit just tweaked your heart a little bit. And you went, you push it off and everything. And then all of a sudden the Lord gets directly involved with it. And you can be chastened, you can be rebuked. Now I'm not saying it's an easy thing to smile while all this is going on. But I'm saying for you to understand that it's because God loves you is why this is happening. And so if it is motivated out of an improper, something that you're doing or something that you're allowing in your life, then know that it's an exercise for God to do it. Because if you don't respond to the holiness and the other promises that are there, we're going to get to the latter point, and that's the law of sowing and reaping. And you want to deal with these things while the Lord is dealing with you on them, and to change things at that point rather than get to the point of sowing and reaping, okay? Because there's a law there, and some very difficult times may be ahead. So the Lord loves us, and he does that. I've been reproved of the Lord. God has used other people to reprove me. He has. And situations that I wouldn't hear. Now, I'm not saying it happened in the last week or something, or anything, but it has through my Christian walk have been very plain. And so if you learn the lesson that you're being taught, if you're patient, you listen, and you get it, then a lot of times he doesn't have to do it a second, third, fourth, and fifth time, right? You learn the lesson. Tana, did you ever learn any lessons? Well, I already know. We know what we're thinking of, right? Yeah. There was a... Really, now, this is just real. I'm not going to tell you all the incidents of it, but Tana couldn't deal with certain people, and so the Lord chastened her and allowed certain people in her life until the lesson was learned. Now, what would have happened if she learned the lesson after the first person? It wouldn't have to require the second and third one, right? Or the other people. And I'm just saying that the Lord chastens us because he loves us. And it yields a fruit. And it's a good fruit. Some of those chastenings are hard to go through. I understand. But it's that trust in the Lord that he knows what he's doing. There's also, so don't get these two confused, okay? Usually the rebuke, the word there, like the rebuke and chastening, is a result of a direct behavior that is wrong or something that's needed, right? So I don't know, maybe with Tana it wasn't chastening. Maybe it really fits into the category of my second point, and that's in John 15. They are not the same. And it will help you if you can recognize this. In John chapter 15, and I know you know the verses, right? The preachers preached from it several times, even while I was here. Not several, but a couple times. And we're going to go in 15 and then verses 1 through 8. But we're going to pay particular attention to verse 2. But he says this, and I'm not talking about abiding now. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Okay, so he's the vine. What is a husbandman? He's the one that, the caretaker of the vine. He's the one that does it, that trims it, right? That's right. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, now it's a bearing fruit plant, that he does this. Every branch he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, shall bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Verse 2. Go back to verse 2. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, so it will bear more or much fruit. So we're talking about now Christians that are fruit bearing, are doing right, and God looks at you and he sees a part of you that needs to be trimmed back a little bit so you can bear much or more fruit. That is not chastening. That's the purging of the Lord. There are things that he knows about us, even that we are bearing fruit. It isn't like we're not in sin here. It's not that. It's not a sin-related item. You are bearing fruit, and he wants us to bear much fruit. And he says, to bear much fruit, I need to clip off a couple of suckers here, right? You know, or something that's not productive. And so I use this, and because in another church, I was preaching this, and I preached through this in another church, and there was a lot of people there that every time something negative happened, or they even saw as negative, they always thought it was because of a sin that was in their life. And I said, did God convict you or convince you of a sin? And they would say, no, I've prayed, Lord, show me what is wrong, what am I doing wrong, and all these other things. And I said, and he didn't show you. And I said, that's because it's not the chastening of the Lord. It might be the purging of the Lord. You're just trying to get rid of something that needs to be. It may be an improper relationship that would stop you from producing more fruit. It may be an action in your life. Who knows? I don't know. You know, Lord's in charge of this, right? Not me. He knows us all so much better. But it's totally different. It is. Confession isn't the action of this. Isn't to resolve this. The action of this, to understand that God is purging you and cleaning up that vessel so that you can produce not a little fruit, but much fruit. And it's not something you're asking forgiveness for. You're asking for the abiding, that you would abide in Christ during all of this is happening. That he would strengthen you, that you would learn, that you would grow into the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not a matter of confession. And so I try to tell people this. God does not chasten you without, and you've heard me say this, but sometimes you heard me but you didn't hear, right? Has that ever happened? You know, you heard it, but it didn't register. God does not chasten you without telling you why he's chastening you. Because there's something that he wants from you in chastening. It's called repentance. He wants you to acknowledge your sin, to confess it, to forsake it, and to learn the lesson and press on. Mm-hmm. But purging is different, so I challenge people. Job. Chastening or purging? Purging. Purging. He did have to learn a lesson. He had to be shown some things. But it was not because he was in sin. I mean, all you have to do is read the first chapters. It said, in all this he sinned not. And then there was, through all of that discussion, if you read it carefully, if you, and I know sometimes it's hard to read it carefully, but if you read it carefully, the Lord is trying to show Job something. And he accomplished that. And then, of course, blessed him mightily. So, again, there's chastening, and then there's purging. Like I said, if he's chastening you, he will, as a God doesn't go around, beat up on his children, and then walk away. And not tell you why. That is not the God that I know of the Bible. When he is chastening, you'll know why he's chastening. And he's seeking an answer. You know, he's seeking a change. And then, of course, purging, though, is those areas of that aren't producing the way that they should. And he knows it. And he knows it. And you say, well, that's sin. I don't believe it. I don't believe that's the teaching at all in the scripture here. He's the one that's in charge of this. But we sometimes think it's some kind of chastening hand of the Lord, but it's not. And if we abide in him, we can bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father if we endure that and go through it. And then learn the lessons that are there. And then we have the creation. And I always, I just want to tell you, sometimes with people who take on the responsibility that they've done, caused all this problem in their life, sometimes I want to grab them and just shake them. You know, I just want to, like, you know, you don't have that power. You're not as powerful as all that, okay? There's problems that come onto us because of the sin nature within that's working in the world. I mean, think about what happened when the blood of someone, innocent blood, is shed. The result of that in the Old Testament, what would happen to a nation, to a people, and other different things, or to an individual, and way back in the creation, right? And all this effect, the Bible says that all of that has had an effect on this world, this lost and dying world. And a lot of times, troubles come, not because of your sin, but because of the sin nature in other people, and the effect that has had on our world, on our genes, on many aspects of our life. And John, in Romans 8, it's pretty well described. Romans chapter 8. See, and your answer to these different things come from, it isn't always, well, I've sinned, I've caused this, it's my problem, whatever it might be. Now, I'm not trying to teach you how to be and blame the sin nature of other people for everything that goes wrong. Because sometimes it might be chastening. Sometimes it might be purging. And as we're going to find out in the last part, sometimes it's just the law of sowing and reaping. But right now we're talking about the sin nature's effect in Romans 8:16. Everybody there? Okay. Hey, yes. Hey, it's cold. Everybody there? They lost an hour of sleep. The eyeballs are caging. Everything. I'll try to be fast. Listen, I know this is tough. I'm having a hard time here. Sometimes I get bored up here too, you know. You know, I just want to... I'm like a... those, none of mine. Okay. And so Romans 8:16, you know, it goes there and it says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that our sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Everybody doesn't want to hear that about suffering for this present time and other things. There is a suffering in the Christian life when we live in a lost and dying world, and we're associated and we face this with people all the time. It really bothers my heart to deal with people that have the sin of their life, yet, you know, that I learn about it, it's not like I'm a partaker, but in the way it is, like it's like the information burdens you, yet, you know, when you hear about these different things and over and over, and you know there's an answer for it, but people will not hear and they won't respond. And it's a burdensome time. It's really very frustrating for me as a pastor. And if you've ever tried to talk to a friend that, now you guys have teenagers, right? You ever try to talk to a friend that's about ready to do stupid and he wouldn't listen? And then they do stupid. And, you know, that kind of thing just bothers me because you see it over and over and over again. But it can't be compared to what's going to be revealed. So we've got to, I don't get down about it. For I reckon for the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We're waiting for people, all the people that are going to be saved, to be saved. We really are. And this being manifest. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Isn't that that's an interesting statement. You know, I've thought about that statement for about 38 years now. And I'm still thinking about it. And I'm not trying to tell you I have the answer for it. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. I'm ready for that day. That would be a nice time. Can you imagine that when we're with the Lord, that I will not, I don't know about you, but I am not going to have a sinful thought. A sinful thought will not come into my head. There will be no sin in heaven with the Lord. There's no sin. I can't quite, you know, it's hard for me to wrap my head around that one. There's no more death. There's all of this that's going to change and all that sin stuff, including in me, is not going to be there. That old nature is going to be done away with. And then it goes on, let me see here, glorious liberty of children, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And that's a continual thing. That means right now too. It isn't like it stopped. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth. And travailing is not without pain. And so everything is working. And it's working not that we are evolving to be better. Anybody that thinks that way, I like to tell them, I said, are you like in a cave somewhere? Don't tell me that mankind is evolving when all we see is this butchery and this political, and you know, all of this stuff and the hatred that is out there. That man is evolving anything. They are devolving is what, and they're devolving into brute beast. But the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. And then it talks, but not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. That even the sin nature working in us, that where you get sort of tired of having that all man still wanting to resurrect itself. And you say, oh, come Lord Jesus, let's get to, you know, okay. It happens. It is. We groan in this. And so sin has had its effect. And then even when you're trying to do right and maybe doing right and maybe doing fruit, these type of things come on you. And God doesn't prevent them, not all of them, from affecting your life. And the reason that they are allowed and they do affect your life is because God is going to use that to mature you into Christ's likeness. He allows things in your life. He allows people to rub you a long, wrong way. I have to almost go into counseling with Tana and Rick. I mean, they are always on each other. I mean, it's there. And
if he would just repent.
That's right. That's right. You know, man, the wife that you gave me, if she'd just get straight, I mean, come on. Everything would be fine. I know. I understand that. But the whole creation, I'm trying to say that you can't take responsibility for that. It's not your place. You're not taking the place. You have to understand what it is. So what do? You pray for them, but you respond to that sin or that problem in a biblical fashion. You become Christ-like. See, God allows these things in our life to try us, And he's looking for our response, not our acceptance. Okay? I'm not saying you go, oh, well, that's fine. Everything's... No, I'm not saying that. But how do you respond to that? When evil is confronted, you know we're supposed to eschew. That's a word, huh? Eschew evil. Okay? We're supposed to speak. We're supposed to do different things. But it's contained in the Scripture. It's here. So it's not that you need to repent. Oh, Lord, I must be sinning because this has come upon me. It is, how are you responding to this? You're going to have the spiritual maturity to understand whether it's chastening, whether it's purging, or whether it's the sin nature of the world that's affecting you and things going on. And you can, because people accept responsibility when they have no authority in that area, and they're really, it's a waste of time, and it's degrading to you as a Christian because you're beating yourself up. And God isn't God's plan for us to beat ourselves up all the time. We're supposed to have a victorious Christian life. We're supposed to have some joy in our life, right? If you're going around flagellating yourself all the time, you know, and you're beating yourself up because you're such a wicked person and everything you do is wrong and everything, where's the joy? Does that give joy to some people? I guess if you're masochistic or something, that would, but it isn't a joyous life. Because he is supposed to give us life and that what? More what? Abundantly. I mean, so if there's no life in that, if there's no joy in your life, you may find that you're that person that's accepting things in a wrong viewpoint, okay? But we do get to the last point, and that's this law called sowing and reaping. And in this, now, because of its, maybe this would have been better for Sunday morning service, but if this isn't your case, and you understand what I'm trying to say, please teach these things to somebody else. You can teach these principles to somebody else. There will be a great help to people. See, in Romans 16, Acts, yeah, well, we're in Romans 9. Okay. Romans 16, yeah. Let's see here, 19, I got to find it. I don't know if I'm going to use this verse or not. I think what I'd like to do is go to Galatians 6:7-8, because to build upon this, I need to have more time, and I do. All of us are tired, and I understand that. So I'm going to go directly to Galatians 6:7-8, and it says, "Be not deceived; God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, does your Bible say that? Okay, then it says this. "For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap what?"
Corruption.
Okay, corruption, ruination, things going bad. Things aren't happening right, you know. Corruption, things off. "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Then the verse follows that, and it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." That's all in the context, okay? So there's the law of sowing and reaping. Now, you got your young people here, right? Most of you don't even think that you're under the law of sowing and reaping, but you are. And the things that you sow in your early life can have and bear fruit much later in your life. Now, I can't go, me and Brother Venturini, we can't go much later. You know, we've already got a lot of sowing time behind us, right? And much later, but you younger people, you got a lot of much later out there, right? And you that are middle-aged, you got a lot more much later out there. And you need to understand that you're sowing seeds right now. And you're gonna sow seeds that are good, or you're going to sow bad seeds during this time. Now, when we were lost, all of our seeds that we were sowing to the flesh didn't produce good fruit. It wasn't spiritual. It was bad fruit. So the years of my marriage, the years of my relationship with Tim, the way I raised my children and different things, in the ways that I followed the Scripture unknowingly, there was probably some good fruit. unknowingly, but I was still following Scripture because of the society I was in, right? But the things that I sowed that were just totally fleshly, they had a long-term effect on me. Now, the young people here, when I was younger, I did alcohol a lot. You understand that, right? So I was sowing to the flesh. And that had a physical effect on my body long after my smoking had a physical effect on my body. Long after, and still to this day, has an effect on my body. All of those things do. If I did not drink the alcohol that I had and the smoking that I used to do and the other drugs that I did before I got saved and other things, my body would be in a different shape than it is now. There is a law of sowing and reaping. And I wanted to, I'm not trying to scare you to death, but there is. But then in relationships, all those years of mistreating people and using them, and I did it before, and the motivation was selfishness, and all I did for people was not really to be a nice guy or something, but the motivation was self-motivated. All of that was bad seed. And I sowed it, and what is the law of sowing and reaping? When do you reap?
Later.
Later. How much do you reap?
More.
And what do you reap?
What you sow.
What you sow. Okay. And that all comes on. Now you say, that's bad news, man. I don't like that. Well, I've got other things here. I'm going to teach you something here. Okay. So then you get saved, right? And, you know, all that bad seed thinking, you know, and everything, you start to learn the Scripture. So here, you've been sowing me 32 years. Junk seed, right? Okay. So then you get saved, you start to learn, and you start sowing good seed, right? You're learning. You're sowing good seed. Okay, what about this stuff back here? There's still a day of harvest. Because you got saved, it doesn't stop the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping, if you're sowed to the flesh, you will reap in the flesh. So what do? Remember the enduring thing. So there's a day of harvest, right? There's sowing. And so the old past things are still in there. You're sowing good seed. You're sowing good seed. You're sowing good seed. But when's the harvest for the good seed? Later. Later is later. And this is where everybody messes up. This is where they make their mistake. They get saved. They think there's going to be no sowing and reaping of the old life. They get here, they're sowing good seeds, and I've heard people say this 100 times. I'm doing right. I'm doing right. What is all this that's coming on me? It's the past. It's the law of sowing and reaping. You are going to reap. Now, this is the good news. You keep on sowing good seed. Keep on sowing good seed. Keep on sowing good seed. So this harvest that I planted at 20 years old, it bears fruit, it's done. Then I've got the fruit that is at 30 years. It bears fruit, that harvest is done. Now all of a sudden, so in the middle here, you have the bad fruit diminishing, and you have the good fruit harvest increasing. And if you are not weary and well-doing, eventually, the bare fruit, all the harvest is done. Some of it, though, my body that I hurt during all those days and all that time, there's still an effect there. But all I'm trying to say is, if you're not weary and well-doing and you keep on bearing good fruit, right, then this diminishes. And the good fruit starts harvesting the good fruit. And if you're not weary in well-doing. Because that's the exhortation. And so what is the answer to that? You can acknowledge your sin. That's a good thing, right? Of your youth and everything. They did that in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, when they got right with the God, They acknowledge all their sin, of their personal sin. Ever read it? They acknowledge the sins of the nation. They acknowledge sins, you know. I mean, they put it all out there on the plate. But there's a law of sowing and reaping. You can be forgiven. We're not talking about forgiveness here. We're talking about the law of sowing and reaping. And so what you need to understand is what you can ask God for is mercy. You ask him for mercy. He's already, you got forgiveness. Now it's mercy that you go on. And so when you're sowing and reaping, there are times that you go to God when you're reaping that harvest of bad seed. Now, I'm talking about saved and lost here to try to make a dramatic emphasis. But how about that stuff, what we're sowing that's wrong in the flesh as to we're saved? There's a sowing and reaping there also. Many of us know this. We're old enough that we messed up when we raised our children. We did not do it the way the Lord did. Now, we knew, we practiced some of it, but some of it we were slack on. And there's a result of all of that. I'm just saying that there's a law there, and it's very, very powerful and strong. And so you keep on sowing good seed, and then the result will be good seed. When I used to come home, my wife didn't want me to be there. My children did not want me to be there. And all because all I'd do is get on them. I'd get on them. This wasn't right. That wasn't right. Get out of my face. Where's my beer? You know, all of that stuff, you know, that kind of life. Please me, whatever. I could, Ten and I, we fought over about everything in the world. And her love for me diminished to the point that she didn't want to be around me either. And I'm trying to tell you that that was a lot of bad seed that was sown. And even after salvation, I had to sow good seed to our relationship for years. For years, until that harvest was over. But it did get over. And then the good seed blossomed. And that's a real blessing when you see that happen. And now my children do love me. My grandchildren love me. And as I mentioned this morning, we're going to ensure that my great-grandchild loves us too. And we're going to do that. So don't get weary. When you're in this, there's all this sowing, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, and I've mentioned financial this morning, whether it's relationship destroyed, all of these things. You don't get weary when you're reaping, right? Because it's later, it's more, it's the same. You just got to keep on sowing the good seed over and over again and quit planting that junk, that corrupt seed. And if you're patient, if you trust the Word, and I have to go to the Lord. I went to the Lord, see, many times, and when we're rebuilding our relationship, for God to give me mercy. I said, Lord, I don't know how much more of this I can handle. And he said, you're going to handle a little bit more. And you know what the Lord finally gave me? Really. Now, this is serious. Now, I'm serious about this in our relationship. It took me 10 years to mess up our relationship. It really did. A bad seed. 10 years of bad seed. And the Lord just told me, if it takes you 10 years to build that relationship back up, isn't that just even? It's not even that you're doing anything special. You're just putting in the 10 years to make up the bad 10. And he just showed me something in that. And then with asking for mercy, he let me go 3. With finances, he let me go 7 of reaping. And that's because the lesson needed to be learned. I'm trying to get you young people not to have to go through that. It was a good lesson, but wouldn't it be better to read the scripture, follow it, and plant good seed as a young person so you don't have that junk there, year after year after year, and to see it bear fruit. So you can ask for mercy. I know you're going to, believe me, I know when you're going through the law of sowing and reaping, you ask for forgiveness. Maybe a 50 times. But what you need to understand is you go to the Lord and you ask him for mercy. And if he wants to extend the reaping and everything, then ask him to strengthen you. Mm-hmm. That you can acknowledge it and go through it and write with the right spirit. That is for our, even that is for our good. So there's our four things. So when things, problems happen, and they do happen, and things come about, then there's the chastening of the Lord. And the way that usually with chastening is you acknowledge what he's trying to get you through because it's a rebuke. You acknowledge it, and then you change it. It's called repentance, right? And then there's this relationship stored, restored and everything, and things smooth out pretty quickly. It's a great, great thing, the chastening of the Lord. But if you'll see it, if you'll acknowledge it, if you'll respond to it, it could be chastening. The other thing is it can be purging. You didn't do anything wrong. Job didn't do anything wrong. He didn't. But there was an area that he had a learning curve on. He did. There was. And I'm not going to go into it because it'll take me another hour. But there is. If you pay attention to his responses to certain things, you're going to get and learn what God was trying to teach him. And at the end, he had to get to him face to face, and twice actually. and he did, because he was accepted and, of course, blessed. So there's purging that's going on. And we all need, we are going to be purged. Understand it. There's this, the things that come about because of the sin nature of the world. We are affected by people. They come upon us. What you need to understand there is, how are you going to respond to that? How are you going to acknowledge it? You don't ask for forgiveness for yourself when somebody has sinned against you, even though some people take that on as their problem. But you do ask for strength to respond to this in a way that Christ would, and a biblical way of doing it. And then, of course, there's the law of sowing and reaping. It's very plain. You can see in Israel. Israel is an example for us. You have to look at how God dealt with Israel. And some of the things that they did not repent of, and that they sowed, and it says the long suffering of the Lord. So many times when you read the Old Testament, if my people would, if they will, if they, and it goes, and they sowed, and then reaping. They reaped it in their children. One generation, they knew not the Lord. One generation, they knew not the Lord. And they reaped it in their children. They reaped it in their finances. They became the tail instead of the head. They reaped it all the way through there. And so that we're to learn from this. We are to learn from that Old Testament and understand what God is dealing with, because he changes not. And so even though we're not under the law, all of that there is there for example for us. So do not faint when you're chastened. When you're rebuked of the Lord, then respond. Don't ignore it. Don't run away for it. Don't try to do all these things, but you respond to it. So understand, be mature enough, think things through about what's going on and affecting you, the trouble, the problem, whatever it might be. Okay? And if you've confessed it and acknowledged it, then you don't have to confess it and acknowledge it 50 times. Really. I really believe that if you get rebuked or challenged of the Lord or chastened of him, you go to him, you acknowledge it, you confess it, he forgives you, and then you press on. That's what you're supposed to do. You press on. You don't beat yourself up about it. Let's go on and have a life that is full of the love of the Lord. So those are the four areas. Any of them affecting you? I don't know. Some I can guess, maybe. Some I can guess. But I hope that this would help you. I'm not teaching you this to like get on your case. I'm trying to get you to see when problems come, and they will. Matter of fact, the Lord says, woe unto them to whom they come, these problems and other different things. But the thing is that I'm trying to give you these things so that you can recognize it And then you could respond the way that the scripture wants you to respond. And it'll help you in your Christian walk. Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of everyone here. And Lord, you know my heart, and I pray for that type of wisdom. Lord, I want to be able to discern very clearly whether you're chastening me, whether this is purging, how I respond. Lord, whether I'm just being affected at this moment because of the sins of the world, the very nature itself, not only the creation groaning, but my spirit also. And I pray, Father, that we would learn to sow seeds unto righteousness. Because, Lord, there's always a day of reaping. And I pray, Father, that we would sow those seeds unto your honor and glory, and that we would see the fruit of those bear such wonderful fruit. And, Lord, the righteousness and Christ-likeness. So bless us now during this invitation time as we stand and sing. Do a work in our hearts, and may it glorify you. Amen. Amen. As we stand, please.